your right like you're running out of time. Hey! Right day and night like you're running out of time. Hey! Every day you fight like you're running out of time. Like you're running out of time. Are you running out of time? Let me tell you what I wish I'd known when I was young and dreamed of glory. You have no control. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story? I know the weekend wins. Not throwing away my shot. There's a million things I haven't done, but just you wait.
Just wait. What's your name, man?
Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 remains the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO if you prefer letters to numbers. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
It's, where are we? It's like, I don't know where we are. It's like February. It's dark. It's...
yeah.
Intermittently cold and raining.
It's that weird part of winter where we're all kind of like walking around in a daze.
Yeah.
Just like I remember, do you know what this time of year in New England reminds me of is the end of April in Seattle. It's when it's been like hazy and dreary for like 6 months or like 7 months. And everyone's just kind of walking around like waiting for the sunshine to like breathe light into them.
But there's never any sunshine in Seattle. That's the whole point
of the
place. There
is. From May to October, which is when I live there because I'm a genius. It's like 78 and sunny every day. It's like glorious. That's why they put up with it for the rest of the year.
Isn't it raining every other day out there? Or?
No. Oh, okay. Well, do you know that Seattle actually has like a bad reputation? They actually have like... are way down on the list in terms of actual rainfall. It's just overcast all the time.
No mosquitoes.
Like it just
I know
always
that.
Looks like it's about to rain, but yeah. It actually doesn't rain that much compared to other places.
All right.
Yeah, there are no mosquitoes. It's pretty sweet. And there's tons of places to swim when, you know, it's not raining.
Cool. Well, that's something to look forward to. But this is like, you know, I was sitting around Monday and Tuesday and looking at the news and looking at what's going on, and I'm like, this is the deadest news week.
Yeah.
Like, and not locally. Fortunately, we got a lot of local stuff to talk about this week.
We do.
But nationally, this is like the deadest news week I can remember in a long time. And it's, you know, coronavirus has kind of calmed down. And we got a debate tonight for what that's worth. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, I feel like now that it's almost like everyone's taking a breather because they know that... Super Tuesday is coming up.
All hail Emperor Bloomberg.
It's like it's like everybody is like, okay, New Hampshire's over with. Let's just chill for a little while because we're all going to be freaking out again soon.
Yeah.
Like that really, like honestly, you look at the news and you're just like, huh, the world's kind of status quo-y right now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's always, when it gets quiet is when you start to worry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh boy, something's coming.
Yeah, you're sitting there. There's a reason that quiet before the storm is a cliche.
The highlight of my past week has been Donald Trump calling Mike Bloomberg 5'8" of dead energy. Which, you know, I do not necessarily like that that man is our president, but I do love his turn of a phrase every now and again. And that's a good one. That's a good dig on Bloomy.
I was going to say, you got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
You really do.
So, yeah, national news. I was looking around, you know, you want to talk about the Astros some more? No.
I don't know that I have specifically ever wanted to talk about the Astros.
There's a story out now that Julian Assange claims that the Trump administration offered him clemency if he would issue a statement saying that the Russians had nothing to do with the WikiLeaks release of DNC information. I don't know that I believe that as far as I can throw it.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and...
Because, you know, Assange
doesn't look like someone who specifically wouldn't make this up.
Here's the thing. Assange is one of these guys who's smart enough to understand how that plays, right? So if I'm being threatened with jail and I put out a statement saying, well, in light of everything that's happened over the last couple of years, if I put out a statement saying Donald Trump offered me clemency if I said the Russians had nothing to do with the DNC hack, one of two things is going to happen. Number one, either Donald Trump is going to make good on that, or number two, the Democrats in the United States will give him clemency so he can come over here and testify about it.
Yeah.
And lie his little blonde-haired bum off in a congressional chamber. And that's what he's playing into. He's like, oh, this will get the Democrats riled up and they'll run to my defense. Again.
Yeah, basically like, he's playing a hand that he hopes will win in one direction.
Yeah, and it's points for originality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, points for knowing how to manipulate the situation, but I don't believe it for a second.
Oh, no, I don't either. I mean, well, and it's too easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's playing on the fact that half of America does not trust Donald Trump. It's just like, all right, well, let's see if I can work this in my favor. which, I mean, I don't think is the last time we're going to see someone do something like that.
There was another great story last week that came out. Apparently when Rance Priebus was the White House chief of staff, because he was from Wisconsin, which is the Badger state, Donald Trump would continually harass him with questions about badgers. He'd be like, are badgers mean? How do badgers work? What do badgers do? You know, do you like badgers? And Priebus is sitting there trying to talk to him about, you know, hey, we got to make a decision on this, or we got this budget information, or there's this international crisis. And Trump is sitting there and he's like, yeah, well, what about badgers? And this is one of the things that I do love about Trump. Is because this is Trump basically harassing Rance Priebus. Because Priebus either isn't getting to the point or is saying the same thing over and over again, and Trump is checked out. And yeah. he's like, hey, how about the Badgers?
Well, and
but the way they write it in the book, they make it sound like, well, here's the most disinterested president ever. All he's interested in is Badgers. No, he's annoying Rance Priebus.
Yeah, like he's doing what he knows how to do best, which is like rile someone up without actually doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, I got to tell you, I mean,
it's amusing is my point.
Well,
not good for the nation, but it's amusing.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely amusing. Well, that's the thing is that as much as our listeners know, I'm not a fan of the Donald, you got to give the guy points for at least being generally entertaining.
Yes. Like, yes, he has part of the job down.
I mean, that was a pretty, that's a pretty funny move.
Yeah. If you look up Rance Priebus Badgers, you'll find the story online. It's hilarious. But anyway, is anything interesting happening locally? Because
yes.
Let me tell you, nationally, it's just a giant wasteland this week.
Lots of... I was going to say, Boston is making up for it, let me tell you.
Thank you, Boston.
One of the Boston areas actually fellow radio stations. One of the longtime hard rock stations has been sold and is expected to change to, get this, contemporary Christian programming. Entercom Communications said yesterday that WAAF 107.3 FM has been sold to Educational Media Foundation for $10.75 million in cash. EMF will replace AAF's rock format with contemporary Christian programming. They said it would air AAF on its existing HD radio stations, 104.1 HD2 and 93.7 HD2. It will also still be streamed on radio.com, but AAF in its current 107.3 band is going to stop broadcasting on Friday, and the new program is expected to start Saturday.
All I can think about is all the metalheads who are going to wake up on Saturday afternoon and flip on AAF and hear somebody talking about Jesus. Or even better, like maybe there'll be some Creed or some Jars of Clay playing for a few minutes.
And for a moment, they'll think everything's okay.
And they'll be like, yeah, this rocks. And then they'll hear someone talking about Jesus. And they'll be like, what? What happened? What's going on? Where's my rock?
Well, and what I love too, and I mean, there's got to be a purposefulness to this, because I mean, if you're going to change it, if you change it slightly, people will be like, well, why don't you just keep it the same? But like, could you swing further away from hard rock?
Yeah. I mean,
it's like when TKK changed, like, you know, a talk station changed over to like 90s hip hop. It's like, yeah, we're going to the way other end of the spectrum.
But at least you could make an argument for having a hip hop station in Boston.
Yeah.
On like a major F, because there wasn't one at that part of the FM dial.
Yeah. Or one that, I mean, that one specifically plays like stuff for people my age.
Yeah.
Like it plays, that's what I hated. And I was like, oh my God, I love this station so much the first time I listened to it. Because it's all stuff that, like, I mean, they have some modern stuff, but it's mostly stuff that like I would have listened to in high school and college. So it is like, it's something that was like, there was obviously, they're not a request for it, but there was obviously a call for it. Whereas this, I'm like, Christian programming belongs on AM, if you want.
Not anymore. Well,
ask me.
This is the state of radio now. This is what's happening.
This is what's happening to our sad medium.
The stations, no, but this is the thing. Stations like AAF, BCN is gone. Mm-hmm. COZ is gone. Do you even remember WCOZ?
Like the call sign is ringing a bell, but yeah. I think that it was probably like my mom going through the channels and passing it at some point.
When I was in...
All I know is right now AAF is the, my mom, if I'm in the car with my mom, it's the, can you turn? I don't like that screamy stuff.
Yeah. When I was in...
I'm like, mom, this is Nirvana. Relax.
When I was in junior high school, COZ was it. COZ was the best, like... It was top 40 rock. It was really what it was.
Yeah.
They weren't playing a lot of deep cuts. They weren't playing a lot of, you know, older stuff. They were playing whatever was hot, whatever was now, but whatever was rock and roll. And they were great. If you wanted the deep cuts and you wanted, you know, the more interesting stuff, you could go to BCN.
Yeah.
Or you could go to ZLX. AAF was harder than any of the Boston stations. AAF was playing metal when nobody in Boston was playing metal.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they built their reputation on. And over the years, and then, of course, you had WFNX, which was Boston Phoenix Radio, playing all of the late British invasion, new wave, and hardcore alternative stuff. So if you wanted to hear industrial, or you wanted to hear the latest from Sushi and the Banshees, or Tom Waits, all that was going on over at FNX. And over the years, one by one, these stations have fallen away. And they've fallen away because, number one, there's no good music anymore. Can we start with that? Like, if Billie Eilish...
I'm gonna second that.
If Billie... I have nothing against Billie Eilish, But if Billie Eilish is the best that we've got right now, I don't want to listen to that 10 times a day.
I don't know if you even have to qualify and say, I've got nothing against Billie Eilish. Like, I'd be okay with
Know how I feel about Billie Eilish. What she does is not singing.
I was going to say, I don't understand it.
Right?
Yeah.
But I listened to her do the James Bond theme, and it's pretty good. I listened to her sing yesterday. At the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
That was good. That was a good rendition of that song. That was the kind of stuff that Marianne Faithfull used to do back in the late 60s, early 70s, which is very different voice. She's not really a singer, but can put so much emotion and feeling behind it that you are moved by
it. Which is what always, I will say, like, regardless of the genre of music, like, that's what always gets me is if a singer can, because you can have the most beautiful voice in the world, but if I don't believe you, I'm not going to want to listen to it.
Yeah.
And it's, that's, I always put it in the very, the very inappropriate and kind of sadistic way of like, I want to feel your hurt.
Right.
I want it to sound like you're in pain singing this.
This is why songs like Let It Go do as well as they do, because you put Idina Menzel on something and you're feeling it because she is a real, genuine Broadway singer.
Yeah. She's like throwing up emotion into the microphone.
Yeah. Billie Eilish does that.
Yeah.
And it may not be emotion that you want to feel, but for certain things, it's got its use. Plus, she and her brother write all the songs and produce all the music. I mean, it's a good story. I have nothing against her. You know, it's not more bubblegum pop or more, hey, I'm going to take my skirt off and let's go back to your place, which seems to dominate pop music these days. So, number one, like, pop, rock, they're dead.
Yeah.
They really are dead. Number two, your generation... I know you hate being lumped in with the millennials, but...
I looked it up. I'm a millennial. I've accepted it.
Your generation doesn't even like your generation's music.
We like your generation's music.
Which none of those radio stations played anymore. And number three, anything that you want, you can get on Spotify. You can get on SoundCloud. You can put it on your iPod. You don't need the radio station anymore to play the music that you want to hear.
Yeah.
Because you have it in a digital format somewhere. If there was... relevant new music coming out, those stations would go on, but there isn't. So what are you left with? Well, the country station in Boston does really well.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's listening to the Bull.
It's basically all the stuff I hate.
And sports radio still does well, and Christian radio does well.
Yeah. And like soft rock stations like Magic 106.7.
Right, because you can put that on in the background while you're at work and no one's going to complain.
I was going to say, it is Boston's works.
That's right.
What is it? What do they call themselves? Boston's leading at work station.
Yeah. Please spare me from the 50th play of No Matter What You Want today. I really just don't want to hear it anymore.
But it is, I mean, you do make a very good point. Whereas like, well, especially because they're so... it used to be that, like, only the guy who makes his own hemp necklaces is the guy you know that listens to indie rock and to an indie anything.
Yeah.
And because of the internet, it's like everything is, I mean, it's like this with every, medium, but with music is definitely a good example of this. Everything is so saturated. It's very hard to have a station and say, okay, we're playing just this and like not still have like, you know, like people in my generation that like Nirvana, they also like, you know, like 30 bands you haven't heard of and want to hear those too. And if they can only hear Nirvana on 92.9 and none of those other ones they like, they're going to be like, no, if I go to Spotify,
right,
I can hear Nirvana and then I can also hear like the Dandy Warhols and then I can also hear like, you know what I mean? I don't know why the Dandy Warhols is the first one to pop in my head, but it is, I mean, the only types of music now that really can be kind of canned, if you will, into one station are those super specific ones like contemporary Christian or like country.
Yeah.
There's never going to be that much variance in country. You know what I mean? Like, my mom listens to country. Sorry, Mom. I know I make fun of you for it, and I apologize for making you an example. But
all you need is a twang guitar, a broken down pickup truck, and a girl who done you wrong. And
yeah.
You got yourself a country song.
Like, type in, go to Google right now. I hope it comes up now that I'm telling you to do this. But go to Google right now and type in Jenny Z every country song joke. And she, it's, for those of you who don't know, Jenny Z, she's an amazing comic, but Jenny Zagrino, but her joke sums it up. It's like all pretty much the same. And it's, there's not going to be some big revolution happening to country music.
No,
it and is. And it can all, you can sift it all into the same category without anybody being like, actually, that's post-punk and it shouldn't be being played with modern alternative. You know what I mean? Like, it's too many hipsters to get away with lumping too much music together.
But one of the things about country, and this is true, is that the country that is being played on the radio today is not recognizable as the country music from when I was growing up, which was bluegrass.
I was gonna say,
you know, steel guitars, and you know, maybe one guy's got an electric.
Maybe one guy's got an electric guitar.
It's country flavored pop that is popular right now, and
yeah, like Carrie Underwood.
And there's an endless variety of it, and it's constantly being put out. So the country stations still have that relevance. Mm-hmm. There is new music coming out that people are interested in.
Yeah, and that people are hearing about all the time.
Because when I was growing up, you defined yourself by the radio stations that you listened to, and radio was the discovery engine for new music.
Like, oh, yeah. I am old enough that I was there for the sit next to the boombox for your favorite song to play on the radio and then hit record as fast as you can so you can get it on that mixtape.
Yeah.
Like, I love about being my age, but I had a sister 5 years older than me, so there's lots of things that if I had been the oldest, I would have missed out on.
Yeah. But that was the thing. It's like you listen to the radio because
that's how you're finding out about music.
Number one, you're going to hear the songs that you like, you know, in that moment in time. But number two, there's something new. You know, like every week there's like, we've got the big new song coming out.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the funniest things ever was when the Thriller album came out, FNX played one of the cuts off of it and then said, okay, we're never going to play that ever again. And that was like the biggest album on the planet.
I was going to say, that must have been pandemonium.
But that was FNX. FNX is like, no, we play the Smiths and the Cure. We're not playing Michael Jackson over here. Go listen to the pop station if you want to listen to that. And the pop station had it on like every five minutes.
Well, that's, I was going to say, I will say that I do always think it's funny. And that's, again, something that I don't think is going to happen again just because of how much music has expanded and changed. But I did always get a very big kick out of when a song would be so popular that like other stations that didn't even like that song didn't fall into their category, like would have to play it. Like I remember when Titanic came out, Jammin' 94.5 played My Heart Will Go On.
Everybody played My Heart.
Just because, and it's Jammin' 94.5. Jammin' 94.5 is a rap station and a hip hop station. And they were playing.
I don't know that they were at that point in time.
No, they were. That was like the prime. That was my radio listening years.
They were rapping.
It was like R&B and stuff, but still, like they were playing like Brandy and Monica. And
but they also
like that.
Played a fair amount of pop. Like whatever was in the top five was going to be on that station.
Oh, they weren't playing like Britney Spears or anything. No, they were playing. They were still the rap, R&B, and hip hop.
Mm.
But that's why I remember listening to it and being like, this is weird. And then I remember they had the they had the Sink the Titanic contest. I think we were talking about this last week where they played it like 100 more times. And if you were the 100th caller, one of the times they played, you got $100. And then the last time the person got $1,000.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I mean, I'm still like, I'm going to be flipping through and there's going to be contemporary Christian.
Yeah, get that off your presets, kids.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Time to take AAF off the preset unless you really, really want to get in touch with Jesus. Could be good for you. Could be good for you. But that has an audience. And that has an audience because as much as you can get contemporary Christian on your Spotify and on the rest of that, it is not an overserved market. there's a limited number of options if you want to listen to Christian music all day long. So it makes sense for them to have radio stations. And if you got a radio station that can reach into Boston, you're probably going to do okay with it.
Yeah.
Better. Here's the reality, kids. Contemporary Christian is doing better than heavy metal. And I blame you. I blame all of you for not listening to more Rammstein. I imagine Rammstein is coming to Sullivan Stadium.
Rammstein, they're du hast.
Yes.
Du hast mich.
They're the
it made my mother very worried about my brother that he really loves that song.
They're the prototypical European rage metal band.
Du hast mich. Du hast.
And they are named for the airbase. There was an air show and one of the planes crashed into the crowd and killed like 65 people. Like, these guys are hardcore metal. they're like, you know, if they were Danes, they'd be like Viking destroyers.
I was going to say, there's something about Germanic languages that they're like really good at doing hardcore metal.
Yeah, they're good for metal. And it's been billed as the biggest pyrotechnic show in the world. I don't know that Sullivan Stadium knows what they've, or Gillette knows what they've signed up for with this. I heard the commercial and I'm like,
I was going to say, I can't even, I mean, I can 100% picture them like doing awesome.
Yeah.
Like, even, you know, like, I haven't heard about Rammstein in a while.
They're going to blow a hole in the field. I guarantee you that.
Oh,
they're
going
to blow a hole
in the
field.
I was going to say, it's like, very, it's a good thing it's not football season.
Yeah.
Because they're going to need some plans.
It's not too far off from football season
when
it's happening, though. I think it's happening in August. And I just remember hearing the ad for it, and I'm like, Rammstein? In Boston? At Gillette? What?
I was going to say, they like...
That is going to be the concert event of the year. I'll tell you that right now. Because that place is going to be wild. You think Kenny Chesney's Country Drinking Fest is a big deal. Just imagine. That's,
oh my God, I'm just thinking of like the people of Foxborough having that descended on.
Just imagine. Every,
it's not quite the crowd you're used to, folks.
Every hardcore metalhead from New England descending on Foxborough.
You're going to get a lot of New Hampshire down there.
If you've ever been...
There's going to be a ton of New Hampshire down there.
If you've ever been drinking in Lowell, downtown Lowell, like the Worthen House on a Saturday night...
Oh my God, that's totally Lowell.
Okay. If you've ever done that, that's about 100, maybe 200 metalheads.
Yeah.
And now imagine 50,000 of them.
These are going to be so many dudes with cross tattoos, but not Celtic crosses.
I want to go just to see the mayhem.
Well, it's so funny that you say that word, because whenever I think of Rammstein or any like black metal, like death metal band, I think of the band Mayhem.
Yeah.
Do you know this band, the Norwegian former band?
Yes. Their lead singer killed himself. And
then they used the picture for the cover of the album.
Yes. They encouraged their fans to burn down churches.
They did.
Yeah. They're hardcore metal. That's,
oh, yeah.
That's Rammstein. That's what's coming.
I was gonna say, that's like, I am not dressing up and doing all this stuff as an act.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe all of the like things about my persona and my...
Yeah. Like I say, I'm tempted to go down there. I'd probably wear some body armor if I did, but I just want to go down there and see the mayhem, because I got to believe that thing is going to go off the rails in a big way.
Oh, Gillette Stadium may be on fire.
You know, this is their first ever North American tour. And granted,
ever?
Yeah, and granted, the fans are a little bit older now. And the older fans aren't necessarily down for like mosh pits and fighting and setting things on fire. But you give alcohol to middle-aged people with, you know, fading dreams of youth, anything can happen.
Yeah, and I mean, there's something to be said for the power of nostalgia. I mean, this is the nerdiest parallel I can make, but like, I still go to Weezer concerts. And when I go to a Weezer concert, I am 15-year-old me again.
Yeah.
You know, like, it does something to you when you've been a fan of a band since those like formative years, that all of a sudden, like, I mean, I go to Weezer concert with my sister, who's 5 years older than me. She's 15 again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Wow, I'm really looking forward to this.
I may get tickets. I don't know.
I mean,
my wife has forbidden me from going to this concert.
Get tickets. Like, just sit in the parking lot. Yeah. That'll be something to watch.
I just want to go and see the mayhem. That's my only interest in this. In other local news, I'm going to hit this one really quick. You like beer, don't you, Shay? Or you liked beer? And
yes.
Everybody likes beer.
Everybody likes beer.
Yeah.
Just because I don't partake doesn't mean I can't appreciate it.
Rate Beer, they're a website.
Oh, yes, I read about this.
Put out their list of the best brewers in the world. And the best brewery in the world, according to the users of Rate Beer.
Which, I mean, it's called Rate Beer.
Who are a bunch of bearded hipster millennials, by the way, and you may not want to take their advice on this. But the best beer in the world, according to the bearded hipster millennials on Rate Beer.
The bearded hipster comes from
Vermont, Hill Farmstead Brewery in mm-hmm. Greensboro. Three of the best beers in the world.
Yeah, top five
are from here. Trillium in Boston.
I just drove past Trillium. It's so funny.
Was third.
It's like when you learn a new word.
Treehouse Brewing in Charlton is fourth. And this, I think, is wrong. Jack's Abbey came in at 29th. I will take Jack's Abbey over anything from Trillium.
I was going to say, in my beer drinking days, I will say Jack's Abbey was one of those ones that I was like, on my, okay, we can do better than Bud Light Shay
yeah.
nights, Jack's yeah. Abbey would be something I would turn to. Or Allagash as well, which Allagash is 34.
Yep, Allagash is good. I like Jack's Abbey a lot. Treehouse, I haven't had much of their stuff, so I can't speak to it.
Trillium, they had a really good, they're like, I forget the name of it, but the ones that have to be served in the round glass.
It's like barley wine?
The chalice. Yeah, they had a good barley wine, if memory serves.
Yeah.
God, it is so funny, though. I haven't thought of Trillium forever, and then I drove by it, and now it's here.
Yeah, so good for them.
It is, though. I mean, it is funny. Like, I'm always interested to see where, because, you know, I always think of New England as a very, what do you call it? I think of New England as a very... beer-ish area
yeah.
because it's cold. We have a lot of like flannel wearing, like, you know, so that's the same reason why I think of like the Pacific Northwest is a big beer area.
Well, we also were one of the pioneers in the craft beer movement because Sam Adams got
yeah.
its start here, and Harpoon, which is still pretty much a local brewing company.
That's what I was going to say. I'm surprised Harpoon's not on here, to be honest with you.
It's, they don't really do anything that interesting.
Yeah, like that, like
anymore.
We're going to be worldwide. Well, I just found it surprising that, like, number five is Cigar City Brewing in Florida. Like, it's always, I don't think, like, when I think of Florida, I don't think of, like, craft beer. You know
yeah.
what I mean? But it's just interesting to find out about this stuff.
Who are the Heady Topper people?
I was just gonna say the Alchemist.
Yeah, they're not on here.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
They were. Well, it says among New England's honorees: Smutty Nose, Jack's Abbey, the Alchemist, Heady Topper, Double IPA. So they, I think that they probably got like a special, specific just for that.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at their 100 best brewers list, and the Alchemist is not on here. No love for Heady Topper. I get a question. Well, you probably haven't had it. It is still difficult to come by.
Oh, I've had a Heady Topper.
No, but I mean, for most people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Heady Topper is, they ship it out to Gillette now, which is amazing, because everybody around here knows it. But unless you are plugged in, like the UVM students go crazy for the Heady Topper. But most people in New England
the UVM students
don't really know what Heady Topper is, and they haven't had it. Once you've had it, your life has changed, and you want nothing but. It's that good.
It is a good beer.
So I love Heady Topper so much. Okay. Back on to the story that I was going to talk about from our friends over at CBS Boston. Revenues drop at Encore, increase at state's other two casinos. You know, I chastised you for going out to, where did you go?
Foxwoods.
Yeah, you went to Connecticut. I'm like, perfectly good casino down the street.
Life is good, life is sweet. Happy. That's the Foxwoods theme, right? Yes. I was gonna say, that's whatever one with that theme song is the one I went to because I kept singing it all day. I didn't go like super willingly.
Gambling revenues, Shea Spillane, have dropped at Encore Boston Harbor even as they've rebounded at Massachusetts to other casinos. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that headline means? Do you need an explainer on that one?
It means everyone's driving to Connecticut instead of driving to Everett.
It means that they've been to Encore and found it lacking, and they've gone back to their home casino. The state's gaming commission reported Tuesday that the Everett Resort generated less than $49 million in gross gambling revenues in January, down from $54 million in December. Now, I will say that January to December is never a fair comparison.
Well, yeah, because January, everyone's like, oh, crap, I spent so much money over the holidays. I should stop spending money.
Plus, everybody's gone back to work. You know, yeah. December, people have time off. People are in from out of town. Let's go check out the casino. December is always going to be a strong month. So the fact that you're down $5 million month over month, it grabs headlines but doesn't really tell the whole story. There's less available business in January than there is in December. But
I was going to say, there was a big old but.
Revenues at MGM Springfield rose to nearly $21 million in January, up from about $19 million in December. So that's $2 million more for them. And Plain Ridge Park in Plainville generated $11 million from gambling in January, up from $10 million in December. So that's another So $3 million of gambling money went somewhere other than Encore. And let me tell you something. How bad is Encore? Because I haven't been yet.
I haven't. I've watched that thing get built.
How bad is Encore that people are going to Plain Ridge Park?
Well, so here's my, what's the word I'm looking for? Here's my theory about Encore. There is a reason that they usually put casinos in places like Plainville, Massachusetts.
Right.
Or like Springfield, Massachusetts. People who go to casinos, I've noticed, I mean, my grandmothers, may they both rest in peace, both loved to gamble. They were those old ladies that got on the bus at Star Market to go to Foxwoods.
Right.
They do it because it's a thing you can go and everyone's going to leave you alone. Everyone just leaves you alone to have your drinks and smoke your cigarettes if you smoke them and put your quarters in the machine. That's why they go. Going to the Encore, I mean, even if you just look at it on a map, yeah, it's across the Mystic River from like all of the hubbubaloo.
It's in the middle of nowhere. Let's start with that.
I was going to say, it's in the middle of nowhere, but a tiny patch of middle of nowhere that's in the middle of everything. I mean,
but you can't get to it is the problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
And it doesn't have any parking.
But yeah, it's like, I mean, to get to it, you have to, I don't know if you've ever been on the Revere Beach Parkway. I have. My best friend lives at the end of it. It's not an enjoyable road to drive on.
Is that the rotary end with the houses or the rotary end with the
She lives the gray house. She lives way up there. She lives on Revere Beach. Like she lives like a block in. Hi, Kim.
Is that the rotary with the houses?
That's the
toward Lynn or toward whatever's not Revere that's on the other side, or toward Winthrop.
Toward Lynn.
Okay. Yes. I know
But like you have to basically you have to take 16 or 99. Like all.
Oh, you can't get there.
All of the ways to get there are the
bad.
Most like asinine, yeah. Like we only put these roads here because we had to get to Lynn.
Yeah.
Ways. Yeah. To like, there's no, when you think where, you, as you think about like Derek just said, I went to Foxwoods a month ago. There's a highway, a major highway. And then that highway has an exit that literally says, take this exit for Foxwoods.
But then you got to drive 3 miles through Ledyard with like cops waiting every 5 feet to pull you over.
Oh, whatever.
That's the only downside to getting to Foxwoods.
But like this, it's like all of, like I said, like the whole reason that people like to go gambling and like to go to casinos is it's like, here's this stupid place in this stupid town that I can just go and I'm not going to have to put up with all the usual hullabaloo of my life. And like, to do this, like, you have to drive by no matter which way you go, you're in a bad place. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to drive by Assembly Row, or you have to drive by, like, the, what do you call it? Fellsway. You have to drive by, like, no matter where, which way you go, you're driving, you're having to go through something that, like, you're going to a casino because you don't feel like dealing with that crap.
Now, I will tell you.
Not to mention that the prices for the hotel rooms are pretty.
Having been there, that Plain Ridge Park is it's a terrible casino. Okay, it's nothing but machine games, right?
It's also called, I mean, I always Plain Ridge Park.
You're going to play slots. They've got the computer controlled blackjack and the computer controlled roulette. But you're going to play slots, okay?
You're going to sit there and be mindless and put quarters on.
It's a slot parlor. It's kempt enough. But its location is killer because it practically has an off-ramp from 495. It's right at the intersection of 495 and Route 1.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if you're coming from Boston, if you're coming from Rhode Island, if you're coming, wherever you're coming from.
A couple miles from Gillette, perfect location, ample parking, go in, get your gamble on, get out, you're fine.
Get your gamble on.
It's no frills, and you go into it knowing it's no frills. I got a half-decent steakhouse in the back. Encore is supposed to be this great gambling experience for high rollers. And where are they? Well, they're not coming to Everett. Let me tell you that. So this is from...
not seeing a lot of helicopters landed in Everett.
No, this is from CBS Boston. Encore has been attempting to lure less affluent gamblers as it's missed its lofty revenue promises since opening last June. The Wynn Resort's own casino has been lowering minimum bets at its table games, offering free parking, and introducing budget food options, including a taco truck on the casino floor. These are their solutions. They're
really changing up their target audience, aren't they?
This casino has lost $76 million it opened. And they just... So what do they do early on? They got rid of half of their bartenders, right? Then the bartenders couldn't keep up with the drink orders. So now they got rid of the rest of the bartenders and replaced them with robots. They now have machines that pour the mixed drinks.
That's... not a disaster waiting to happen.
Because that's the kind of service high rollers are looking for. This thing is going to go down as one of the biggest boondoggles in Massachusetts history.
Now, Derek, you can't just go and steal the Big Dig's thunder.
But honestly, anyone with a brain could have seen this coming.
Dude, I worked in Assembly Square while in Assembly Row while they were building this thing, and we would stand outside. I worked in a restaurant that was like right on the edge of Assembly. So literally, like, we would stand on the side of the building and smoke cigarettes and watch them building the Encore Casino. What did we do while we were outside smoking cigarettes? Talk about what a terrible idea the Encore Casino was and how we didn't understand. Yeah. We were like, why are you putting it there? Like, I can think of so many things that would make more sense to do with that land. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to, like, put some sort of entertainment something there.
Yeah.
A casino is not one of them. You know what I mean? Like, but I remember just standing there being like, this is going to be such a money pit, and it's going to, and then slowly it's like, first there's the scandal with Wynn, and then there's this, like, it's just from, like, before it was even finished being built, this thing has been a money pit and a just... I mean, I don't even know what to call it without being extremely mean.
I know a guy. Shout out,
saying a word that I'm not allowed to say on the radio.
Shout out to David Stoneham, who says it's going to be Section 8 housing in 5 years. And you know what? It's looking pretty prescient at this point. The only section. Do they have an indoor pool? The only Section 8 housing with an indoor pool. I don't even know if they have an indoor pool. What upscale, globetrotting gambler is going to go to that place?
I was going to say, we don't have people coming in from Dubai to go to Everett.
No, it's not Macau, okay? It's Everett. And there is nothing, there isn't even anything in walking distance of it other than a Packy and a gas station. Oh, there's a McDonald's up the street. It's like, what are you going to do? Check in for 3 days and stay at the casino and then leave? Like, why? What's the point?
Yeah.
It's not going to work. It was never going to work. You needed something much smaller that the region would support and not this crazy, hey, we're going to get high rollers from all over the world to come in. That would have worked if you had built it in Revere, right next to the airport.
Yeah.
And you had horse racing. You don't have horse racing. You don't have easy access to it. You don't have any nearby amenities that anyone cares about. I don't see the casino patrons coming to Tavern at the End of the World ever. Probably because they can't figure out how to get across the traffic circle.
Encore Boston does not have a pool, by the way.
It doesn't even have a pool.
No.
Like, what?
How do you not fit a pool in that gigantic freaking building?
Someday we're going to find out that this was a giant tax dodge by the Wynn Corporation.
Well, and the thing is, you're exactly right, though, because, like, it would be like trying to open a Girl 23 in Weymouth.
Yeah.
It's like, open like an Outback Steakhouse in Weymouth, and that will do wonderfully. You open a Grill 23 in Weymouth, no one's going to freaking Weymouth to go to a 5-star steakhouse.
No.
You know, like it, sorry, Weymouth, but you're just a really good example for stuff like that.
You need to put the business in a place where your clients are.
Yeah.
And your clients are not in Everett.
Do you want to know the best example of Everett that I've ever heard that is actually the funniest thing I've ever heard my mother say? Mom, if you're listening, big shout out. There was one time I was staying at the Everett House Comedy. You know what this is.
Yes, Boston
Comedy Party House. But I slept on the couch after drinking too much. And I woke up the next morning and had a parking ticket. Not completely crazy for me, especially back then. But I'm sitting with my mother and I looked at it and I was like, oh, what the hell? She goes, what? And I said, I got this parking ticket in Everett and you have to either pay in person in cash or money order.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah. And I was like, well, like every other parking ticket I've ever gotten, you can just write a check.
Nope, not Everett.
She goes, it's Everett. They know the check will bounce.
Yeah.
By the way, Mom, to this day, that was like 8 years ago. Boom, that was such a good joke.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's the thing is I don't care if it's on the edge of Everett. I don't care. You don't think of Everett as a place that men in Valentino suits are going.
This thing never should have happened.
Is it Valentino? Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a luxury casino sitting between a toxic river and an industrial wasteland. Never, ever should have happened. And the only reason that it did happen is because a lot of people looked the other way because they were bamboozled by dreams of jobs and tax revenue that are now not going to materialize. And you're going to have this massive building sitting on the banks of the toxic river, eventually collapsing into itself because there's no casino there anymore. And you can't really do anything else with it.
Yeah.
The demolition cost of that building is going to prevent anybody from trying to redevelop that site.
Honestly, like, legitimately... Turn it into low-income housing.
Yeah, but they're hotel rooms. They don't have kitchens. You can't do that. The cost to retrofit that would be through the roof.
Yeah.
That may ultimately...
Because it's not set up for it.
I mean, the state's ultimately going to have to do that. Because
turn it into a prison.
Well, there's a possibility.
You know what I mean? That would make a perfectly good prison.
It's not like you can make that neighborhood much worse than it already is. 855-9...
It's already like on the water, really separated from stuff.
855-915-9636. That's the telephone number.
No one's going there.
No one's going. No one's going there by choice.
Nobody, I would say nobody wants to go there, so it'll prevent people from committing crimes. It's like, oh, you might get sent to Encore.
Yeah.
Don't know why. There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day forecast, semi-wintry. Winter's coming back for a couple days. Temperatures down into the teens tonight. Teens in the suburbs, and it's school vacation week. Teens in the suburbs during school vacation week is definitely a recipe for trouble. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Highs only get up to about freezing. Teens in the suburbs again tomorrow night. Lock your doors, put the car in the garage. The teens will be out in the suburbs. Friday, sunny skies, again, high near freezing. It's going to warm up Friday night. It'll be in the 20s.
Oh, good.
Balmy.
Oh, yes.
And then Saturday.
My dad's going to Florida. I want to punch him.
Saturday, actually not bad. Highs in the mid-40s under mostly sunny skies for you Pokemon players on Community Day. lows around freezing Saturday night. And then Sunday... spring preview, sunny skies, highs in the low 50s, but we're slipping back below freezing on Sunday night. So a couple days of cold, teens in the suburbs, and then we get back into a nice little spring patch for a bit.
Spring patch.
Spring patch. that may stick around for a while. We'll see. When we come back, that's a thing that happened. The strangest stories from the past week, right here on WMFO Medford.
Time is a good time for broiling thick, juicy steaks, indoors or out. What kind of steaks? Tenderloin, porterhouse, T-bone, sirloin, or rib steaks. They're all naturally tender and excellent for broiling in the top USDA quality grades, prime, choice, and good. Prime is the top grade, and choice is almost as high in quality. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Where's your head at?
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is the illustrious Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love to hear from you. You can call us at 855-915-WMFO. And now we're going to tell you that's the thing that happened, which is the weirdest news story that we could find from the last week.
Sweet.
For me, Crocs, the footwear company and frequent collaborator with unusual artists and brands, has joined forces with KFC, the fast food company that does the same, to create the KFC X Crocs Bucket Clog, a limited edition shoe covered in a fried chicken print. The uniquely designed shoe has the iconic KFC red striped bucket on the base of the croc and comes with, get this, two attachable charms that could easily be mistaken for the real deal because they look and smell like fried chicken. Yes, right there on the shoe. The Crocs will be available in unisex sizes this spring, and the chicken smell could linger well into summer. All can be yours for the low, low price of $59.99.
Hell yes. Hell yes. I'm looking at this thing right now.
Yeah, I mean, so they had me at, like, Crocs with fried chicken on it, but, like...
So the sole part of the croc is the same color scheme as a KFC bucket. It's the alternating red and white stripes. And then up above that, it looks like the entire top of the croc is a photograph of a big pile of fried chicken.
Yeah, like it is like the sole looks like the bucket, and then the top is like looking into the bucket.
Yeah, and then you got the little wing charm sitting on it. Man.
I want someone to buy these just so I can smell the wing. But I do find it hilarious that they're like, yeah, we totally need something that smells like fried chicken next to someone's foot.
Like, yeah.
Like, I could see, like, maybe on a purse or something. Like, you'd be like, yeah, that's kind of funny, but...
Somebody's trying to sell a size 13 pair of these for $690,000 right now. So, I don't think they're going to go for that much, but...
No.
I like it. That's cool. And they even got the X thing in there. The X thing is very hot right now.
Mm.
That's high fashion when you're throwing the X in there.
Oh, yeah, because nothing says high fashion like fried chicken.
Michigan. We don't get out to Michigan very often. When Netflix and chill goes wrong, Robert Lee Noy, 52, and old enough to have some strong opinions, thought his friend Jill Shelton, 37, needed to understand her racism, so he forced her to watch Roots. Not a bad plan, but Noye upped the ante by threatening to, quote, kill her and spread her body parts across I-380 on the way to Chicago when she tried to get up. Noye was arrested for felony harassment and false imprisonment. No word on whether Shelton liked the miniseries. I'm guessing the answer to that is going to be no.
Yes.
If you're being forced to sit there and watch it.
Yeah.
But that's the, yeah, so...
Yes.
Forced her to watch Roots.
Forced to watch Roots.
We don't know which version of Roots. If it was the original 19...
I would say which Roots.
Yeah, if it's the original one. They're both good.
Mm.
I got a soft spot for the original just because that's what I grew up with. But the remake recently was very faithful.
It gets the job done.
And well done. Okay, so do we have a name for the next part of this thing? We don't.
Not really.
We don't. I've had a copyright claim filed against the name I was going to use.
So let's not use that.
Just by the previous host here on WMFO.
Oh, Chris Earl's got beef.
Yeah, he's got beef. He's got beef with
Chris Earl. If you're listening,
drop the beef.
No, no, no. He's fine. He's, you know, he's accused me of infringing on his intellectual property, and that's fair.
Did you infringe on his intellectual property, D? The fact that you're stammering tells me yes.
Yes, I did. I did. I thought what I'd come up with was different enough, and it wasn't. And it's, you know, that's fine. It's his idea, and, you know, but we got to come up with a name of this because we're going to be talking about movies, entertainment, all yes. that kind of good stuff. I am going to break embargo on West Side Story. The reviews do not come out until tomorrow night, but I'm going to give you my thoughts on it because I've seen it. And you should probably see it too. Anyway, this is WMFO Medford on the Town with Mikey D. We'll be here in about 1 hour with everything that you need to know about the Boston music scene. One of the last places you can go for Boston rock now that WAAF is a Christian station.
I'm going to say, unless you want your rock to be with a side of Jesus.
Go